Welcome to episode 27 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have a full-length episode for you. If my voice sounds a little bit funny, that's probably because I'm feeling sick today. But I wanted to record the podcast anyway, even though I'm sick. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in the Apple iTunes Store and on the Stitcher app. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And, as always, if you have any questions about anything that I talk about in this episode, or any questions about English in general, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Finally, I want to make a little announcement. The city where more of my listeners live than in any other city is Tokyo. It was Tokyo for a while, then it was Seoul, South Korea, and then it was Bellevue, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle. And now it is Tokyo again. Congratulations, Tokyo. And now, on with this episode. This week's vocabulary theme is going to the gym. Maybe because I'm sick and I won't be going to the gym, that's why I thought of this theme. Well, the first word is sweat. S-W-E-A-T. Sweat. Sweat is the stuff that comes out of your skin when you're working hard or when you're very hot. That's sweat. And if you have a lot of sweat on your body or a lot of sweat on your face, you are sweaty. S-W-E-A-T-Y. Sweat and sweaty. Now, here's a word that means exactly the same thing as sweat, but it's not used very often. It's a more formal sounding word. A formal way to say sweat? That sounds strange when I hear myself say it, but that's what it is, and the word is perspire. P-E-R-S-P-I-R-E. Perspire. Well, that's the verb. The noun form is perspiration. P-E-R-S-P-I-R-A-T-I-O-N. Perspiration. So perspire means the same thing as sweat. But like I said, you won't hear people use this word in conversation very often. You will see it on products you can buy at the drugstore called antiperspirants. These are products that are supposed to help you sweat less. Antiperspirants. The next word on our gym vocabulary list is gasp. G-A-S-P. To gasp is to breathe hard, usually to breathe hard suddenly. I think you can gasp for breath when you have been exercising very hard and you have a hard time catching your breath or breathing slowly again. The next word is actually a phrase, wiped out, W-I-P-E-D, and the second word is out, O-U-T. If you are wiped out, you are completely tired. You are exhausted. You are done. You have no more energy left. Now, some people who go to the gym try to bulk up. That's our next word. It's also a phrase, bulk up, B-U-L-K, and the second word is up. U-P. To bulk up is to gain muscle, to get bigger muscles. Bulk means a big size or a large amount. That's what bulk means. And to bulk up means to become bigger because your muscles are bigger. Now, what I do every time I go to the gym, I use the elliptical. E-L-L-I-P-T-I-C-A-L. The elliptical is a piece of exercise equipment. It's kind of like a cross between a bicycle and a treadmill. You stand and pump up and down on the pedals. And it's a lot of work, and I really don't like it, but I do it every day. And here's something I don't use at the gym. It is a dumbbell. D-U-M-B-B-E-L-L. A dumbbell is one of those weights that you can lift with one hand. And the last word on our gym vocabulary list is locker room. Now that's actually a compound word. It's two words. L-O-C-K-E-R. And the second word is room, R-O-O-M. The locker room is a place in a gym or at a swimming pool where people change their clothes and take a shower. A locker is that little cabinet where you can leave your shoes or leave your coat or your other items. Well, those are our gym-related vocabulary words. Today's small talk topic or social situation has to do with asking whether a seat is available. Maybe you are on the bus or at a sporting event or in a movie theater or some other place with many seats. What do you do if you see a seat that appears to be available and you want to ask whether you can sit there? Well, I think there are three basic common ways that people ask if it's okay to sit there. And that's the first one. You can just ask, is it okay if I sit here? Or, is it all right if I sit here? Or, may I sit here? You can also ask, is this seat taken? That means, has somebody else already claimed this seat? Is it all right if I claim this seat? You can also ask someone who is sitting next to a seat that might be available, excuse me, are you saving this seat for somebody? In other words, maybe this person came to the theater or the sporting event with a friend, and maybe the friend went to the bathroom or went to get something to drink or something to eat, and is saving or reserving this seat for the time when they come back. So you can ask, excuse me, are you saving this seat for somebody? And if they're not saving the seat for somebody else, maybe they have placed their own coat or their backpack or their pocketbook on the seat, they will say, oh, I'm sorry, here, let me take that. Yes, you can sit down here. So that's how you deal with this simple situation. You say one of those three things. Is it all right if I sit here? Is this seat taken? Or, are you saving this seat for somebody? And that's really all you need to do. It can sometimes seem like a difficult situation. You might wonder, how do I approach this stranger? What's the appropriate way to ask if I can sit here? But it really isn't difficult at all, and nobody will mind if you ask. Today's grammar lesson is about questions. Now, you might have learned in a textbook that there are two kinds of questions. There are WH questions that start with who, what, where, when, why, which, and how, even though how doesn't start with WH. There are WH questions and yes-no questions. Yes-no questions are the kind of question that is asking for a yes or a no answer. Here's an example of a WH question. Where do you like to go skiing? Or, when do you like to go skiing? Or, why do you like to go skiing? Those are WH questions. And a yes-no question might take the form of, do you like to go skiing? I want to talk about a third type of question, not a WH question and not a yes-no question. I call this kind of question an echo question. WH questions and yes-no questions both have to change some words around. They require you to change the order of some words. Echo questions don't change the word order at all. An echo question is formed only by changing the rising and falling pitch or the intonation of your voice. Here's an example. This is a declarative sentence. In other words, it's not a question. You like skiing. That's just a regular statement. I can form that into an echo question by just changing the intonation. If the declarative form, the statement, is "you like skiing," the echo question form is "you like skiing?" It has a pitch, an intonation that goes way up at the end. "You like skiing?" I kind of exaggerated it there just to make sure you could hear what it sounds like. Now, an echo question has a certain meaning. An echo question is a way to express surprise, or maybe disbelief, or what we might call skepticism, being doubtful. So if somebody has just said, "I like skiing," and you can't believe that they like skiing, for some reason they just don't seem like somebody who would like skiing, or maybe you're surprised that they do something that adventurous, or maybe you never knew that they liked outdoor activities, you might say, "You like skiing?" And that's a way of communicating your surprise, or maybe even your doubt, or your disbelief. "I can't believe you like skiing. I never knew you liked skiing. I find it hard to believe that you like skiing." All of that is conveyed in that echo question, "You like skiing?" And I want to give you some homework for this week. I know I'm not really your teacher, and I don't have the power to assign homework, and I can't give you a grade, but I'm still giving you a homework assignment. I want you to find three things that make you feel surprised, or imagine three statements that you might hear a friend make, and then create echo questions based on those statements. And make sure you really exaggerate the way your voice goes up in pitch. "You like skiing?" Try it like that. Well, let's see how you do. Send your situations and your echo questions to everybodyesl@gmail.com. And now it's time for the joke of the week, the part of the podcast where I tell a pretty bad joke, but a joke that might help us learn something interesting about English. Here is this week's joke. My friend broke her finger playing basketball today, but on the other hand, she's completely fine. Do you understand that? My friend broke her finger playing basketball today, but on the other hand, she's completely fine. Okay, so why is it a joke? Why is it supposed to be funny? It just sounds kind of basic. She broke a finger on one hand, and on the other hand, I guess she didn't break any fingers. So one hand is injured, and the other hand is fine. Well, yes, that's the literal meaning. But "on the other hand" is an extremely common idiom. "On the other hand" means something like "but also." Let me give you another example. Let's say I am thinking about buying a new car, and I'm doing my research about cars, and I find one that looks really good, and I say, "Well, this car has an excellent safety record. It's a very safe car. But on the other hand, it is very expensive." So I'm saying, "Well, it's true, it's a very safe car, but also, we need to remember, it is an expensive car." So "on the other hand" means "but also," or "yes, that's true, but this is also true." So, my friend broke her finger playing basketball today, but on the other hand, she's completely fine. Does that make sense now? Well, even if it doesn't, "on the other hand" is a very good expression for you to know. You will probably start hearing it a lot now that you are a little bit more familiar with it. Are you ready for this week's listening quiz? Like I do every week, I'm going to read a short story to you two times. The first time, I will read it pretty quickly, maybe the same way I would read a story to another native English speaker. The second time, I will read it much more slowly, and it might be easier for you to follow along that time. After I have read the story twice, I will ask three questions so you can test how much you understood about the story. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. Here is the fast time. This is the first time Sophia has ever been on an airplane. She's going to Los Angeles, and she's very excited. She's also nervous, but mostly she's happy about the whole experience. The plane is almost ready to take off, and Sophia is watching everyone and everything around her. She sees someone getting on the plane with a cat in a little cat carrier. The cat meows happily from inside the carrier. She sees a baby. She sees a big family with 5 children. The surprising thing isn't that Sophia has never flown on an airplane before. The surprising thing is that Sophia has never flown on an airplane before, and she's 90 years old. She has children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren who have all flown before, but this is Sophia's first time. Okay, how was that? Was it a little too fast? Let's try it again, and I think you will have an easier time following along this time. This is the first time Sophia has ever flown on an airplane. She's going to Los Angeles, and she's very excited. She's also nervous, but mostly she's happy about the whole experience. The plane is almost ready to take off, and Sophia is watching everyone and everything around her. She sees someone getting on the plane with a cat in a little cat carrier. The cat meows happily from inside the carrier. She sees a baby. She sees a big family with 5 children. The surprising thing isn't that Sophia has never flown on an airplane before. The surprising thing is that Sophia has never flown on an airplane before, and she's 90 years old. She has children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren who have all flown before, but this is Sophia's first time. Okay, how was it that time? Was it a little bit easier to understand everything and follow the story? Let's see how you do with these 3 questions. Question 1. This is the first time Sophia has done something. What is it? Question 2. What kind of animal did Sophia see? And question 3. Why is it surprising that this is Sophia's first time doing this thing? Okay, now if you need more time, if you want to listen to the questions again or go back and listen to the story again, that's fine. Just come back here when you're ready to hear the answers. And here are the answers. Question 1, this is the first time Sophia has done something. What is it? It's the first time Sophia has flown on an airplane. Question 2, what kind of animal did Sophia see? Sophia saw a cat on the airplane. Question 3. Why is it surprising that this is Sophia's first time doing this thing? It's surprising because Sophia is 90 years old. I think most people have their first trip on an airplane when they are much younger than 90 years old. Okay, how did you do? We've reached the end of episode 27 of Everybody ESL. I hope you learned some good stuff about English. I hope you have a lot of good things to practice and think about. If you do have any questions about anything from this episode, or suggestions for a future episode, or questions about anything that has been bothering you or confusing you about English, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with a mini episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.